Louder Than Life 2016. Saturday and Sunday, October 1st and 2nd at Champions Park. With Slipknot, Avenged Sevenfold, Korn, Slayer, The Cult, Cheap Trick, and so many more. Go to louderthanlifefestival.com for all ticket and festival information.
Hey guys, you're listening to another episode of Redefining the Counterculture right here on Witten Radio. Today we've got a special guest for you. We're joined by actress Tracy Birdsall. Tracy, how's it going?
It's going well. Hello.
Awesome. Thank you so much for joining us on today's show.
Thank you for having me.
You're welcome. So Tracy, I want to congratulate you. You just received an award for Female Action Performer of the Year at the 2016 Action Film Festival, and just wanted to congratulate you and wanted to ask you, what are your thoughts on that?
Well, it was pretty amazing, actually. I was really excited. I've gotten a lot of awards in my life. I've gotten a lot of actress awards and stuff, but this is such an action-packed film. And, the making of it, the behind-the-scenes making of it, it's on YouTube, and a lot of my bruises and stuff are in that. So I got injured a lot for this film. I kind of threw my whole heart into it. So to get that, it just felt pretty good.
Absolutely. You have just done an amazing job. You've done so many roles. Acting is something that is definitely your gift. Like when I take just a look at your work just over the decades that you've been involved in the industry, you've gotten just progressively better, each year. Was acting something that came naturally to you, or was it something that you had to work really hard at? How did you get involved with acting?
I would say both. I mean, when I was a kid, I did a lot of performing, and so I grew up with it, musical theater and things like that. But as you you break out of the kid years, what a lot of actors and actresses don't realize is then you have to go do the hard work, because being a kid, it kind of comes naturally to play make-believe and do all these. And so I studied every method imaginable. But when I really hit my stride again, which I would say was probably 7 years ago, was when I started studying with an acting coach called Margie Haber. She's the only person I will recommend to people in town. And she kind of had a new breakthrough with me. And it was funny because I kept going to class. She'd get really upset with me. And I thought I had it, And obviously I wasn't at the point that she wanted me at. She works with like Halle Berry and stuff like that. And then once I got it, it was like, I just completely become my characters, and I try to make them as individualistic and as different from each other as possible, because then I don't think about who I am when I'm doing it. They all walk different, they all talk different, they all move different, and it's interesting, and ever since I kind of got that, it's like I've been working all the time.
Well, that is good.
It's fun too, because then their memories become your memories.
Absolutely.
Their experiences and it makes your life look really easy, because some of these characters have pretty messed up lives.
Yes.
And so it makes you really appreciate your own life a lot too.
Absolutely. And that actually leads into my next question, Tracy. I wanted to ask you, when you're preparing for a role, you're working, on a character, is it hard for you to get into that role, into that character, because you've played the gamut of, the good girl, the bad girl, and everything in between.
Everything in between.
Yeah. I don't mean that as like an insult, but I mean, you've played some very diverse roles, you've had some very diverse characters, and, because you seem like you're naturally such a good-hearted person, is it hard for you with some of the more grittier roles to kind of get into character?
Once I define who they are and what their backstory is and every little tiny decision about them, then I just live them. But in Rogue Warrior Robot Fighter, the one that I got the award for recently, there were a couple of scenes in there that were shot later. We spent the most part of a year on and off this project. There were a couple of scenes in there that gave me some pretty bad PTSD.
Absolutely.
It took me a few weeks come off of them. Like, I was so upset, because when you're living that stuff, it's real to you. And so you have to recover, just like a normal human being has to recover from their experiences. We have to recover from the experiences that your character goes through. And because if you're not living that, then your audience isn't going to live it. And so, yeah, I mean, it's really tough work. It's a lot of preparation. I'm a fanatic about preparation. I prep probably 100 times more than anybody I know. I mean, I'll sit there full time for months and just break a character apart.
Absolutely. Man, that is amazing. I guess, you know, this is kind of leads into my next question, but a lot of people just, they don't really understand or grasp the concept of, you know, what goes into to filmmaking, specifically as an actor or an actress. In your own opinion, what would be the biggest misconception that people have of actors and actresses working in Hollywood?
Well, not all actors and actresses are the same. I would say that, you know, there's a 5% of us that are out there that absolutely live and breathe their characters. And when you watch that on screen, that's not, you know, just a skill. It's a 1,000% committal. And I don't think that that people realize how much work goes into that, because it really, really is hard. It's really, really, really hard. You have to use every single thing of you. Like in Rogue Warrior, it was, you know, physicality to the extreme. When you see these scenes where I'm out in the desert, you know, climbing these mountains and having these battles, it's like, you think when you're a viewer, you don't think that they had to do that 10 or 15 times in a row, you know?
Absolutely.
I mean, there were some scenes where the director would say to me, because I was so far away from everybody when some of this stuff would happen, and he'd say, okay, as soon as you get back up to the top and my arm goes up, that means action. I said, as soon as I stand up from walking up to the top of the mountain, then I said,
arm up. Man, I hear you.
It's a lot of hard work. Yeah.
Absolutely. I'd like if you tell us a little bit about your newest film, Rogue Warrior: Robot Fighter. It's got a release date of early 2017, so next year. Could you tell us a little bit about the film?
I can. It's about, you know, artificial intelligence has basically taken over the world, not just this world, but the world. It's set in the near distant future. And my character basically is not going to let this happen. Like, she really can't believe that it's happening and people are putting up these battles and putting up these barriers around their, you know, their homes and their world, but they're not doing anything in addition to try and come up with a solution. And so she's a bit, you know, that's where the word rogue warrior comes from. You know, she's a very independent soul, but what you don't expect when you go into the movie, and I can't give it away because it's a spoiler, is the emotional journey of self-discovery that she has. And there's many, many layers to this character. And it's one of the things that the people that came to the premiere were just, it was funny because people were kind of stunned. And because you don't expect this deep, deep drama within a science fiction film, you know, you just don't expect it. And it's really deep. Like, even the comedic moments, there's some really funny moments in it. And one of the things that I found from the audience, they're so drawn into the depths of where this film goes that all the comedy does in it is kind of allows them to recover a little bit.
Nice.
So it's really very interesting. Yeah. I didn't see that one coming. But, so yeah, I mean, that's probably about all that I can say. But she does, you know, she comes across other people that join her on her adventure, and of course, terrible things happen to them along the way, as they always do. And you know, I can't tell you how it ends, so you won't watch the movie.
Okay.
I can tell you that the actors in this thing were amazing. We did such a good job of gathering just a fine group of actors. I got to work with William Kircher from The Hobbit. That man is just a brilliant actor. And Stephen Manley, who was
yes.
Young Spock on Star Trek III, and you know, he too. We were all living our roles. So it was so real to us. Daz Crawford from Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., he was amazing. He was funny after the premiere. He was kind of stunned by it. Even the actors, because they didn't, you know, they weren't there for all the filming,
right.
Were surprised at what a big movie it turned into.
Absolutely. I wanted to ask you about that. You know, what was it like working with these other amazing actors? I mean, I'm sure with each role, and each actor or actress that you work with, there's probably so much that you glean from just from the craft in general, I'd imagine.
Yeah, well, I would say that in my past films, some of the things that I've, you know, people always ask me, like, what was it like working with Dennis Hopper? What was it like working with Barry Corbin? It's like, I always have something that I get from another actor, but I can't always identify what I've gotten from them until years later.
Absolutely.
Like, like years later, I'll be like, oh, that was kind of cool that I did that. That really worked. And then I'll be like, oh, I learned that from, you know what I mean? So it's, I have that realization that I'm not as brilliant as I think I am, but I got it from somebody. But so I'm sure that, you know, working with, you know, some of these actors, that if I did gain anything from the experience besides just the absolute pleasure of how much fun it was, that'll become evident to me in the distant future when I'm living the role of something else and I utilize a skill that I learned from one of them. But I wouldn't be able to identify that right now.
I understand. I understand completely. When you're filming, when you are working on a project or a film, specifically a film, do you ever find that it's kind of arduous or, I guess just tough to really see kind of the scope of things? Because I know as an actress, I mean, like you said, you're not always, you know, available or, shooting for every single scene. And so do you ever find that the scene that you shoot might be hard to get into because you can't see the final product until it's done, so to speak?
No, because I always focus on where my character's at and what my character knows, where my character's at, and I show up and do those scenes. Like when we did Who's Jenna on the East Coast, they shot that in two sections. They shot everything that I was in when I was out there, so it was in every single scene.
Gotcha.
And then they did another shoot later on around the other actors, because they brought me out from the West Coast and everybody else was from the East Coast. So, you know, it isn't really my job on other people's production. The only thing that's my job is to show up uber prepared, knowing exactly who my character is, knowing my lines 1,000%, and giving them exactly what they asked for, plus hopefully another 50 to 75%. That's my job. You know, so I look at it as a job when I work for other people's production.
Okay. That's really insightful, yeah, because I've never acted in a film, but I would kind of, I guess, liken it to football, because it's like when you're out there, you're playing a game, you don't really, I guess you can't really see the bigger picture, but of course the directors and everybody can. But you hit it on the nail when you said, you know, you show up prepared, ready to do your part, and that's the most important thing.
I'll give you a good example. It was kind of funny at the Q&A. They asked Marilyn Gigliotti, she was on Clerks, and they asked her, you know, something about preparing for a role or whatever. She goes, well, I never read the whole script. I only read my part. And I just started to laugh out loud because she's so cute.
Yeah.
And she's so much fun. I just love that woman. And, you know, that's an actress doing their job. She had to know exactly what she needed to be at that time, and she wasn't in the rest of the film. She had a really, really nice long scene, and it was the two of us together. And when you look at it, her job is to know what her mindset, what her job is. It, you know, if you're watching a movie, that character doesn't know what's happening next.
That's so right. Yeah.
It doesn't really matter. But I thought it was brilliant. And I will tell you again on Marilyn Gigliotti that I loved working with her. I knew her before. But I remember when I watched the film for the first time, I thought, wow, that's my favorite thing I've ever seen Marilyn do. So anyway, she's really, really good at this. Brilliant.
Very nice, very nice. Yeah, she's a great actress. I don't know her personally, but she's got...
She's a great human being.
Absolutely. Yeah, she sure seems like it. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah, she really nailed her part in
this. That's awesome. I wanted to talk to you about your character. Now, you play a character named Sienna, and you told
Sienna.
Us... Sienna. Excuse me. Sorry about that. You told us a little bit about her. I was wondering if you could tell us just a little bit more. I don't want you to give anything away, but tell us a little bit about her and kind of what you enjoyed most about her character.
She's extremely strong. She's more vulnerable than I am. She gets thrown more things in her life than any of us ever do. So she has to go through a journey, basically, and she learns different things along the way, and then she, you know, she has somebody close to her that gets killed, and that affects her, and then she kind of starts to gather the strength from all of these things that have happened to her and that have happened around her, and that's what's actually her driving force. So you see a huge metamorphosis in this character and how everything around her affects her. And one of the things I love that, you know, the reviewers have said, is they actually go on her journey. I think everybody will go on her journey, male and female, because there's something about her that you, of course she's a female, that you identify with her because of her strength and everything. I think you identify with her as a human being no matter what your sexual identity is.
Absolutely.
And it's really hard. I had to watch the movie like, I don't know, 8 times just before I didn't cry watching what she went through. Because it made me cry, and I'm like, I have to keep watching this because I don't want to cry at the premiere.
Right, right.
then people, there was a lot of press at the premiere, and it was funny because one of the gentlemen that was with our company, he was sitting near some of them, and he said, gosh, I've never seen people from the press wiping their eyes. And I'm like, oh, good, I did my job.
good.
Yeah.
That is awesome. And again, not to sound like a broken record, but that leads into my next question. After you finish a film or a project, whether it's, theater or a television role, what would you say is, I guess, what would be the best word that would describe how you feel after completing a role that you've been working on?
Exhausted. I didn't used to get that way when I was younger because I was trying different methods and this, that, and the other thing. But when you throw yourself into something and you live it, you're exhausted because you're shooting, maybe 12 hours a day, and then you're spending maybe 4 or 5 hours either getting cleaned up or working on your lines for the next day, just refreshing everything, and then you get a little bit of sleep. And then you're back up in the makeup chair. I mean, it's very, very, very exhausting.
Wow.
It's much easier to act if you believe that acting is acting. You take yourself and you say those words and make those expressions. But if you live it entirely, it's exhausting. And you lose your identity. Like, I shot 4 films over the last, I'd say, 15 months. And, boy, it was funny for a while there because I started to forget, like, who Tracy was. It's like you have this jarble in your mind and these memories and these feelings and things that you wouldn't normally have, and you have to kind of sort them out and put them away. And so it's a really interesting process, kind of trying to decompress and disassociate from the character.
Absolutely. Because you take on so many roles and you've acted in so many various films and projects, do you find that it's hard to stay who you are, to essentially keep yourself? I mean, do you ever lose yourself in a role?
You get a little confused, It's like you kind of understand schizophrenics to some degree because you get a little confused in who your identity is. But I would say that my grounding force is that I'm a fitness buff. So when I go back, when a role breaks and I've recuperated, then I immediately go back into my routine. And, I immediately go to the gym, I work out with my trainer, I go to fight training, I do these things, and that's where my grounding is at. I call it my therapy, but I use my body for therapy. But it kind of reminds you who you are, and since I've been a gym rat since I was 13.
Oh,
so
wow.
So it's ingrained in me, like, this is what you do next, okay, now you go do this. You go back to your habits, and it all kind of comes back and sorts itself out. And then plus, when you shoot like this, you've got so much paperwork and stuff to do when you're done because you avoided everything you can possibly avoid. And I put everything aside when I'm filming or when I'm preparing for a character. And so you're really far behind on everything when you finish. And then you use the time in between to get caught up. And that kind of helps you remember who you are.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. I'd imagine so.
Yeah.
Man. I was wondering, so you just wrapped filming The Rogue Warriors. Excuse me. What other projects do you have in the pipeline that you can tell us about?
Well, I have Who's Jenna, which is the comedy that we shot on the East Coast, and that premiered a couple of months ago. I know that it also has a screening September 24th in New Jersey. They call it their New York screening, but it's New Jersey just right over there. and then I have Diary of a Fat Man, which actually I play myself to some degree. It's like an exaggerated version of myself because I'm in the dream sequences of this fat man, and it's really quite funny. It's a great comedy, and that's out of the Australian film production company Majestic Film. And then I have, what else do I have? I have At the Edge of Time, which is in post-production, which is a time travel movie. Right now we're working on The Time War, which is another time travel movie. It's got Barry Corbin in it, too. And it actually has the narration in it. The opening narration was done by the late Christopher Lee. The director's known for so long. He's been working on this project for, I don't know, 15 years or something. And like 10 years ago, he was working with Christopher Lee on something else at Abbey Road Studios. And he's like, you know, I have this narration thing. If I give you a little bit more money, will you do it? And he did it. And then we're just now getting the film made. So that's kind of cool.
Very cool. Yes. Yes, that is amazing. I would sure like to see that.
Yeah. That's awesome. I play another really badass chick in that. I play, she's a general of her own army. Trying to put a stop to things. I'm not really supposed to talk about it, but that'll be out, I would say, within 6 months.
Okay. Yeah. Very cool.
And then they take like another 6 months to get released. Like Rogue Warrior's done, and we thought it would release sooner, but we're going with Sony, and so they have like a whole time schedule that they're releasing it on.
I understand. I understand completely.
Yeah. This show. Everybody's like, I want to see it. I'm like, I'm sorry, it's out of our hands. We've already delivered it.
The nature of the beast.
It is. You can only do your part.
That's right. Man, so you've got some really amazing stuff on the way. I wanted to ask you, what is, the one thing that keeps you going? I know that this work can be very arduous. Like you said, it's taxing on the body.
Mind, soul.
Yes, it's you know, you're basically giving, you know, yourself to the world. But what's the one thing that keeps you going, despite all of the ups and downs of the industry?
I would say it's kind of like fuel. Like doing this kind of thing, it's very addictive. The whole process is very addictive. And you just want to get in and you just want to work. And so the hard part for me is finding good projects. Like, I get sent good projects all the time, but I have to always build upon what I've done in the past. Which means that it has to get better and better and better and better. And so the hard part isn't selecting, but as soon as I see something that I want to bring to life, I'm like, oh, I want to live that character. Then you're back in that, you know, whirlwind again.
Absolutely.
And then I love my fan response. Like, people always say such nice things, and they love watching me work. And so it's like you want to feed that, too. You know, it's absolutely. Like, oh, you kind of feel like it's a responsibility.
Yeah.
It's a weird thing. Yeah.
I know where you're coming from.
Yeah. I just love it. I love the whole cycle.
It's awesome. Tracy, where can our listening audience find out more about you and keep abreast of what you're doing?
Everything's on Pinterest. I have a bunch of folders there. My Pinterest is Tracy Birdsall 1, so there's folders with every project where I just take all the stuff and I put it up there. Twitter is Tracy Birdsall 1. Instagram is Tracy Birdsall 1. Facebook is Tracy Birdsall Official. And Husei is Tracy Birdsall.
Oh.
I think I got it all covered.
All very easy. Yep. Meat and potatoes.
Yeah.
Well, Tracy, this has been a wonderful interview. I want to just thank you so much for taking time out of your busy, busy schedule to do this interview with me. And I'm all out of questions, but I wanted to open the floor to you if there's anything you'd like to say to our listening audience.
I did forget to mention that we have a short-run TV series that we're doing, which is basically in the future of Rogue Warrior. We got approached on this. It'll be after the Time War, but it's called The Gods of War.
Oh, wow.
And so it'll be six or eight episodes, something like that. I can't tell you where yet. But so it's kind of continuing the journey. And it's funny because that's the one thing that everybody says after the film, oh, I want to see what happens next. You know, so I love that that's the response we're getting because that's what we've been planning all along. So it's kind of exciting.
Very nice. Do you know, what outlets it will be available on? Will it be available for digital download, or?
I can't say yet because we've actually talked to two different companies about it.
Oh, gotcha.
So they've talked to us. So as soon as we figure that out, you can bet that you'll see press releases on it and stuff like that, because I'm really good at spreading all that stuff. Yeah.
Awesome.
It's really cool. And it'll be a lot of fun to revisit that character and get PTSD again.
I hear you. Tracy, thank you so much. It's been an honor to be able to spend this time with you and to sit down and talk. I'm just very grateful. I've learned so much from, you know, your experiences as an actress and getting some valuable insight. I just wanted to say thank you again.
Thank you for having me. I enjoyed it.
You're welcome. You're welcome. And was there anything else you wanted to say to our listening audience?
I'm kind of out of words. Yeah, I don't really have anything else to chime in. But thank you so much.
You're welcome. You're welcome. Thank you so much, Tracy.
Goodbye.
Guys, that was actress Tracy Birdsall. You can check out her newest film, Rogue Warrior Robot Fighter. That'll be released early 2017. If you guys are listening to this on SoundCloud, go ahead and hit the subscribe button. We are also on your mobile phone or your mobile device. You can download the Stitcher Smart Radio app. It's available for free in the Google Play as well as the iTunes Store. If you download the app, you can search for our show name, Redefining the Counterculture. You'll hear this interview with Tracy as well as many, many others. If you are an iPhone user and you just want to do a direct download, you can search for us in iTunes Podcasts. Search for our show name, Redefining the Counterculture. It's free of charge. You can download the episode. You can subscribe, rate us, leave a comment. You can also share with your friends. Android users, we're also, have no fear. If you're an Android user, you can search for us in the Google Play Store. Again, free of charge, Redefining the Counterculture. And if you've got an Android, you can do the same thing. Download us, rate us, subscribe, so on and so forth. All free of charge.
Louder Than Life 2016, Saturday and Sunday, October 1st and 2nd at Champions Park, with Slipknot, Avenged Sevenfold, Korn, Slayer, The Cult, Cheap Trick, and so many more. Go to louderthanlifefestival.com for all ticket and festival information.